Hallelujah. All right, good afternoon, everyone. You know, we started that fellowship in the cafe, and I realized that I talked to the Kodungbu Moksanim and told him that we wanted to be a blessing to his congregation. So instead of continuing to bump elbows, we decided to move our service time back to 1 o'clock. And I believe that because we're seeking to be a blessing, you know, he was very moved and touched by, you know, our move. Hallelujah! I was praising God too hard, and you can never praise God too hard. Hallelujah! But I was doing that. But I think as we seek to be a blessing, God is blessing us. Amen. I think that fellowship time was just a rich, wonderful time. How many of you guys were in the cafe for fellowship earlier today? Woohoo! All right, hallelujah. Yeah, we just want to welcome everybody to head over to the cafe. If you come for Sunday swim, grab yourself a lunch and stick around there from about 12:20 till 1. We have our lovely service team bartenders, Lydia and Eno, serving up some drinks. And there's the fellowship time there. Hallelujah. And I just felt the blessing of God upon even just that time. And I think God's going to continue to bless us as we seek to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 5 and just keep it there. You know, I know sometimes that we flash the scripture up on the screen when we do Bible reading, but I want each of you guys to bring your own sword. Bring your own sword. Bring your own Bible, the translation that you like, and the language that you prefer. All right. Hallelujah. You know, recently I've been trying to identify the visions and values of JSCM. Because I believe that as we move forward, we need to really clarify the vision that God's given us in this season. And I realized one thing as I'm trying to discern the visions and values of our church. And, you know, some people say that JSCM is not just an EM, it's an ER. You know, people come in here and they're dry, they're lifeless. And then even Daniela last week was sharing, you know, just 3 weeks here at our church and God just pumped life back into her. And then she got sent to Mongolia. Hallelujah. We're glad that we saw that in Daniela, and some people call this, you know, JSER, because we just got so many people, hallelujah, coming in here and just getting revived. That's beautiful. But you know what? We are more than just an ER. I believe that God is raising up JSCM to be a base camp for raising up an army. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
God's using JSCM is preparing JSCM as a base camp for raising up a mighty end time army. That's what I see when I pray. And I can't fabricate that. I can only discern it. I can't invent clever visions and strategies or values. I can only discern what God is doing. And if there are any prophets in the house and you feel different, please let me know after the service. And maybe you can offer other insights. But that's what I really sense as I've been praying, asking God what the vision of JSCM is. And so, hallelujah, for the month of September, beginning today, I'm going to be preaching on the army of God. Hallelujah. God's looking for a few good men and some women. Hallelujah. For the army of God. Hallelujah. So, I don't know if I'm going to preach this on Sundays or if I'm going to preach this on Friday Fire, but it will be podcasted for you if you miss any of these. Okay, and I believe this is going to be crucial, and especially for people who are rising up to serve. It's been crucial for the leadership to really know the vision of our congregation as they move forward. I want you to look with me to Joshua 5. Verses 13 to 15. We're going to look at this passage and just kind of unpack it today. It says, Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off those sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Amen. You know, wherever God shows up in a powerful way, when he reveals himself in dramatic fashion, that place is holy. Hallelujah. And if you got some sandals, you got some shoes on your feet, you better take them off. Because the place where you are standing is holy ground. That's why when you see revivals, you see people who come up to the altar, they can't come up without repenting. Why is that? Why do they repent? It's because they got to take off their sandals, because when you approach a holy God, you better make sure you're right with him. The holiness of God will begin to cause your heart to repent. The very holy presence of God. Hallelujah. And if you don't feel it, God will tell you, you better take off them sandals. You better start repenting right now if you want to draw near to me. Hallelujah. And that's what, exactly what it tells Joshua here. It tells Joshua to take off his sandals. Now, if you look in today's passage, we will discover that this is a very peculiar encounter that Joshua has right before he sacks Jericho. Because as he's approaching the city, he sees this man with a drawn sword in his hand. Now, Joshua was a warrior. He was a fighter. He probably had a sword himself. So he sees this guy with a sword. He's going to ask him, "What's going on? What's up? Who are you?" Right? That's kind of like what Joshua was doing. Right? And so he asks, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Right? And Joshua just confronts this dude. And interestingly enough, this mystery man answers, "Neither." And then he identifies himself. Look here, verse 14. "Neither," he replied, "but as," what does it say? "Commander of the army of the Lord." He identifies himself as what? I'm sorry, I didn't know we had a literacy problem at our church. Look at verse 14. All right, hallelujah. Okay, either y'all need to lift your voice or you need to get some hooked on phonics. Look at verse 14. He identifies himself as what? As the commander of the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now think about that. Like, some angel can't just like start parading around saying like, "Oh, I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. By the way, Joshua, I'm commander." All right. This guy that appears is probably more than just an angel. All right. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him that. That is the commander of the army of the Lord. Now, why does this mystery person answer neither to this question that Joshua poses? Why does he answer neither? Well, that's because, for one thing, Joshua asked the wrong question. He asked the wrong question. He says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And this guy says, "Neither." All right, you might think, you know, "Well, I'm on your side, Joshua. I'm here to comfort you and strengthen you." Right? This commander, he puts Joshua in his place. He says, you just got the wrong question, brother. Right? And that's what we tend to do as well. We ask the Lord, "God, are you on my side? I thought you were on my side. Where are you? Are you for me or are you for my enemies? Are you with me or my mama? God, where are you at? Are you on my side or not? Right? And we tend to ask the same question. But you know, brothers and sisters, that's the wrong question. The question is, are you for the Lord or are you for His enemies? Because there's no middle ground. You're either for the Lord, and you enroll and you start serving the Lord in His army, or you're for His enemies. Idleness is the devil's playground. Someone said, I don't know who. Person was smart. Now, Joshua didn't know who he was talking to, so the man takes initiative to clearly identify himself. Now, what's interesting is this encounter occurs right before Joshua destroys Jericho, and this is his first military campaign after Moses' death. Okay, so Joshua's all alone. He has to lead. He's the leader now. He doesn't have Moses to look up to. And what's also interesting is that this mystery man is claiming to be the commander of the Lord's army. That's a bold declaration. This mystery man commands Joshua to take off his sandals. Now, what does that look like? What's that remind you of? Moses and the burning bush. Right? Out of that bush, the voice said, you take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. So you have to start thinking to yourself, man, this is a very peculiar encounter that Joshua is having here. And you know, as soon as Joshua got that revelation of who he was encountering, you know what he did? He fell to the ground in reverence and he took off them sandals. Because what does it say here? Joshua forgot to do so? No, Joshua did so. At the end of the chapter, he made sure he took them sandals off. Okay? Because he was probably trembling before the presence of this mystery man. Brothers and sisters, what pretty much happens is Joshua gets a revelation on this road. He gets a revelation of who Jesus is. Okay. But you know what? We get revelations of who Jesus is all the time, right? We sing, Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, you're my Lord. But you know what, brothers and sisters? If we are going to be raised up to be an army of God, we need to get a revelation that Jesus is the commander of the Lord's army. I mean, how many of us get a revelation of Jesus in that way? But that's exactly what Joshua needed here. He needed a revelation that Jesus is the commander of the Lord's army. And that's what he got, and that's what we need today. Amen? You know, many of us know Him as our friend, our advocate, our Savior, our Lord. Very few of us know Him as our commander in chief. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to join the Lord's campaigns, we need to get a fresh revelation of Jesus as the commander. You know, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus is not just leading Sunday services all over the world. That's not what He does. That's not the only thing He does. He doesn't just lead Sunday services all over the world. Jesus is not just leading a Sunday service. He's leading a war, brothers and sisters. We need to get a revelation of that today. That we are in a war. We have an enemy that is playing for keeps. We have an enemy that is merciless. Think about your own lives. Maybe several of you were attacked, put into bondage. When? When you were little children. Because the enemy does not play fair. He will do everything and anything that he can do to put God's people in bondage. Hallelujah. But just like in the Matrix, brothers and sisters, we need to wake up. We need to get that thing unplugged out of our heads. And be like, what world have I been living in? You need to realize there's a spiritual realm. Hallelujah. And God has chosen you. And you have all these hidden gifts. Hallelujah. And God will release spiritual gifts for you to stop bullets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read this testimony of this dude. I think it was in Africa. And a prophet had prayed over him. You will be used by the Lord in unusual ways in these coming years. And he ended up planting all these churches. And so on Sunday, he has to preach at three different churches. So his testimony, he was saying that every Sunday, he ends preaching, and for him to get to the next town, it takes like 3-4 hours, right? He steps out of the church, and automatically he was in the next church. So he'll preach there, and then he'll come out of that church, and he'll be automatically in the third church, just in time for him to preach at each service. The most unusual thing, right? And God fulfilled that word. You guys are looking at me like, that sounds like crazy talk. Okay, but you know what? It's in the New Testament. Look at the book of Acts. All right, if God did it then, he can certainly still do it. Right? Philip baptized the eunuch. The eunuch's like, oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to hug Philip, and Philip's gone. Where is that man? And then when we find out, Philip's that same hour, he started preaching in some other town. Okay? Hallelujah. Why did I get into that? Hallelujah. Bring me back. Bring me back. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we are in a war. We are in a war. And we need a fresh revelation of who Jesus is as the commander of the Lord's army. And I believe personally that this was Jesus in a pre-incarnate state. And he comes to meet Joshua to strengthen him, encourage him, and to change Joshua's thought patterns. You know, Joshua, you got to think about it. He was so overburdened with taking the leadership of Moses. I mean, imagine you filling the shoes of Moses. Come on. I mean, he was burdened. So at the beginning of Joshua, what does God say over and over again? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. That was what God was saying to Joshua over and over and over again. You know, and what every time Joshua heard it, he was like, thank you, Lord. Say it to me again. Thank you, Lord. Say it to me again. Because he had big shoes to fill. And as he was about to lead the Israelites into the promised land, right, he had wrong thinking that God was wanting to renew. Okay. You see, Joshua had this us versus them mentality as he approached Jericho. Way back in Exodus 17, when Joshua led the fight against the Amalekites, right? The Word of God says in verse 13 of Exodus 17, Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. But the rest of us know how he really won that battle. Because what really went on? Moses was at the top of the mountain raising his hands to heaven. But the moment those hands start getting tired, Joshua start getting whipped. And so they tried it out. Moses probably tried it a few times. People getting bruised down there. And Moses like, oh, wait, there's a difference. But check this out. Oh. Hey, Aaron, I need your help. And they raised his hands until Joshua defeated that entire army. And maybe Joshua heard about it later, but you know what? Joshua was fighting down there. You know, to him, he just looks like he's just fighting and winning. And what Joshua says here in verse 13, as he asks this mysterious man this question, it reveals the heart of Joshua. He says, are you for us or for our enemies? It revealed that Joshua was thinking, it's us against them. It's the Israelite people against all these different Canaanite people that we have to dislodge. And that revealed his heart, his thinking. So what does God do? God has to intervene and be like, we need to change that boy's thinking right now. Okay. That's why God, I believe, appears to him in this powerful way. And if you read on in chapter 6, you see that Joshua, there's a change in him. Because he follows God's instructions for taking Jericho in a very specific manner. And it has nothing to do with the sword. What do they do? If you look in chapter 6 of Joshua, chapter 6. Instead of focusing on just battling, he focused on obeying the word of the Lord, however strange it was. So they circle Jericho. They circle Jericho. And they circle Jericho. And the people are like, man, what is this, Joshua? What is all with all this? And people are like, let's just go in and fight. I think we could take them now. You know, they're hungry in there. There's no water in there. They're dehydrated. We can take them. And Joshua's like, no, we have to follow the word of the Lord. Because this is not about us versus them. It's about the Lord. This is His battle. God is the one who will give us this battle if we follow God's instructions. Okay? So you can tell that here Joshua has a shift. Hallelujah. If you look in chapter 6, verse 16, look what Joshua says. On the last day, they circled Jericho 7 times. And then he says, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Hallelujah. Look at his words here. Joshua does not think we can now take them because they're dehydrated. He says, shout, because it's the command of God. We shout, now the Lord has given you this city. Joshua knew exactly whose battle this really was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what, brothers and sisters, let me just pause here, go off on a little tangent. You know what, the people of God need to shout a little bit more. Amen? I'm telling you, shout. When you go to a football game, people shout. All right, football players, they don't get any kind of blessing when you're there. Go team. Go. Man, football players, they get crazy. They get exhilarated when fans go, yeah! Yeah, go Eagles! E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! Hallelujah. We rebuke you back there, brother. Dallas Cowboys. Hallelujah. You will rise on wings with the Eagles. But you know, you at a game, you shout. Why? Because when you shout, it blesses the players. Come on, it really does. Hallelujah. Or unless you're at Yeongguljeon, that's like a different story. I don't know what that's all about. Some of the youngster students will see what that's about. But yeah, we shout, right? And the people of God, we need to shout. The word of God says all over the Psalms, shout. Shout glory in the sanctuary. Right? Shout. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah is repeated all over the Psalms. Hallelujah. God wants us to shout when we're in the sanctuary. But you know what? The only people I hear shouting on Sunday is me. Come on. Now, when I shout, I don't shout just to shout. Something changes in the spirit realm. And for those who are discerning, you know what I'm talking about. The moment shout goes out, oh, something changes. Oh, don't you worry. There's a purpose for all that shouting. It's blessing the heart of God, but it's also changing the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Some people just come in the sanctuary. They don't want to praise God. Falling on my knees and worship. And then someone says, glory! Whoa! Presence of God is here. You feel that, y'all? Hallelujah! Oh, I call! And all of a sudden, everybody's praise level rises. Why? Because when you shout, the glory of God fills the room. God's all about that shouting. That's why He commands Joshua to shout down the walls of Jericho. Hallelujah. It was a powerful thing here. When we shout, we also shout against the enemy. You know how much the enemy's shouting at you? He's shouting all he wants. You're nothing. You're nothing. Okay, I shouldn't do the imitation voices. Actually, people ask me not to do demonic imitation voices. I do deliverance ministry, so I kind of actually hear the manifestation, so I'm able to imitate it very accurately. And it's freaking people out. So I'll stop that. Sorry. We got to shout on to the Lord, brothers and sisters. Why do you think Darnie and Sheck wrote a song, Shout to the Lord? Why? Because not enough people are shouting in the church. Hallelujah. I'm tired of going every Sunday being the only one to shout, and then I got to tell Marcus and David to shout. And they're just trying to get used to it. Hallelujah. But you know where I learned it from? I learned it from my brother Michael, my mentor, Brother Michael. Brother Michael, he shouts. Oh, he shouts. He sometimes visit our campus crusade meetings and freaked everybody out. He'll be in the back, yes, Jesus, yes, hallelujah, glory, glory. And people are like, ooh, who's that white guy? But you know what? I mean, it electrifies my faith. I mean, we got to shout, brothers. We got to shout down. We got to shout down the walls. If there's walls in your life, you got to shout them down. You know, this wall will come down. This stronghold, this fortress is going to be destroyed. I shout this down. No more. No more. No more disease. No more sickness. No more poverty. I shout down this lie from my life. And you got to shout it down, brothers and sisters. Then you go in. Hallelujah. So we're going to practice. Okay. There's some common shouts y'all can do. You can do hallelujah, but you got to put the emphasis on the loo. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, if you go, yeah. Man, y'all need to practice. All right, let's try hallelujah. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
Oh, snap. Now somebody's way off on their timing. Look, when you shout as well during praise, man, make sure you time it right. Don't time it like when it's like mad silent and then it just like freaks everybody out. Unless it's like the Spirit moving you to do that. You know, there's like rhythm, you know? There's rhythm to shouting. I'm serious. There's a rhythm to shouting. You shout like all crazy and people don't get blessed. Hallelujah. Or glory. Glory. The Bible says in the Word of God, it says, shout glory in the sanctuary. But not many people are heeding that word. We're going to do that right now. 1, 2, 3.
Glory!
Let's do it again. Something happened just now. 1, 2, 3.
Glory!
Glory! Hallelujah. Glory in the sanctuary. The Word of God says, glory and strength are in His sanctuary. Might as well just shout it out. Glory's here. Glory! Glory! More, Lord. Glory! More glory comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to do church a little bit different from what y'all used to. We're going to include the shouts. We're going to include the shouts. Hallelujah. Let's get back to the passage. You know, and Joshua, he had this victory here, and he continued to be a victorious warrior because he followed the commander of the Lord's army. Okay. Another man who was victorious, was a victorious warrior, was David. Even before he was of fighting age, he took on Goliath. And he said, right before he took on Goliath, he says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." How many of you guys know that the name of the Lord Almighty is mightier than the spear, sword, or javelin? Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." And then he went in and he killed Goliath and he chopped off his head. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that. Hallelujah. I love that. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Tell your neighbor that. The battle ain't yours. It belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to just look around. Do it. Hallelujah. Now, have you ever stressed about something or gotten filled with anxiety over battles that are not even yours? I mean, literally, they're not even yours. They're like your friends, but you're stressing over. The devil's simply trying to discourage or upset you. You know what? We let him because we think that we're fighting the battle alone. When you look at the battles of life and you think of yourself battling those lives alone, battling, taking on those battles alone, guess what? You're just going to be discouraged and upset. But what we need to do as a people of God, we need to realize that we are not alone. When David stepped out to fight Goliath, he put the ownership of that battle, not upon himself, not upon the army, but upon the Lord. And he says, the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Amen. He had no fear because he knew that he was not fighting alone. The commander of the army was going before him and was leading him. Commander, I'm telling you, Jesus was right next to David when he threw that slingshot. And Jesus guided that little stone and made sure it hit Goliath right smack in his big old forehead. And hallelujah, he went down. I don't think he was actually down out. But like, what did David do? And the little children's stories, you know, he falls out like a tree. But in real life, he probably didn't kill him. You know what killed him? Chopping off his head. That's what killed him. And David was like, I won! And he started walking away. Goliath would be like, get this little stone, boom. So, little boy! Well, no, David didn't let that happen. You know what? When we come against the enemy, that's what we need to do. You know, if there's bondage in your life, you not only want to keep it outside of your life, you want to go and you want to destroy that bondage. You want to cut off the head. Hallelujah. You got to finish the job. Now, when you're faced with a tough battle or the odds are stacked against you, you got to say like David, no need to fret because the battle is the Lord's. If your coworkers are gossiping about you, don't stoop down to their level. Don't stoop down to their level, but keep blessing them and say out loud, you know what? I can't control what people say about me. But I'm going to let it go. Because God is my vindicator. And the battle is the Lord's. And so many times, man, we're trying to like, yeah, why y'all gossip about me? And then you try to like gossip back to them so that they get a taste of your own medicine. Maybe they're stop gossiping. But what does that make them do? Make them gossip more. Right? That don't help none at all. We gotta know that the battle is the Lord. If somebody's coming against you or your family with false accusations or with a lawsuit or wants to put your daddy in jail, hallelujah, if they're coming against you like that, you gotta say, this is gonna turn out for my good because the battle is the Lord's. There is not a single battle that the commander of the army of the Lord has lost. Jesus ain't never lost a battle. He has a perfect record. Hallelujah. All wins and zero losses. Think about that. Hallelujah. New England Patriots, they were like, yeah, we are invincible. And they thought they were going to win the Super Bowl and have a perfect season. They thought they were going to make football history. Hallelujah. But all the Eagles fans were praying. No, I'm playing. No, and God said no in New England. I got the perfect record. Tom Brady, you going down. And you're going down through a man named Eli. Young boy, too. Hallelujah. And Eli, man, he pulled that joint off. Hallelujah. Last quarter, too. Glory to God. Eli, if you're listening, the battle is the Lord's. You only won because God let you win. God made you win. Brothers and sisters, if you will let the commander of the army, if you will let him fight your battles, he will deliver you from every one of your troubles. And he will always cause you to triumph. The army of God must follow the commander of the army. Must realize who the commander really is. If you look in Judges 4:15, it says, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army. The Lord is the one who routed Sisera and his army. Hallelujah. You know what happens to Sisera later on, right? Woo! That's the story of Deborah. You know, Deborah's like, yo, Barak, this is what the Lord says. He's going to give Sisera into your hands, even though he has all them crazy iron chariots. You are going to defeat his army. Hallelujah. For the Lord will fight for you. All this stuff. And the Barak was like, well, okay. But Deborah, if you don't go out with me, I ain't going to go. And Deborah was like, you little sissy. All right. You're going to still win the battle. But you know what? Because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours. But for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So Deborah prophesied that. And it wasn't handed over. Sisera wasn't handed over to Deborah. Sisera was handed over to some lady named Jael. Okay, so Barak routs all the iron chariots, destroys them, kills off most of the army. Sisera starts running on foot. Right? He finds this tent. And the lady goes, "Oh, come in. Stranger, you look tired. Why don't you go to sleep?" Right? And Sisera says, "Oh, man, I'm beat. I just need some rest. Hey, you got something to drink?" Right? And Jael gives him, like, I don't know, some sour milk or something like that. Put him right to sleep. And while he was sleeping, you know what Jael did, right? Oh, hallelujah. She took a tent peg and she drove it right across his temple. And Sisera was no more. Hallelujah. Why am I telling that story? I'm just saying that ladies of God, sisters of God can be gangster. And when they got the Spirit of God on them and the word of prophecy to fulfill, man, they will be gangster. Kill the king, mighty king. Hallelujah. I don't know why I went off on that story. I'm going off on a lot of tangents. Judges 7:15. Gideon said, "Get up." He told his 300 men, "Get up." Millions of people. Millions of army soldiers. And he's like, "Get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." And 300 men killed an entire army that numbered like sand on the seashore, the word of God said. That's because the battle is the Lord's. If you look in Judges 11:32, Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gave them into his hands. 1 Samuel 2, verse 9 and 10. "It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered." Brothers and sisters, if you will only just keep in faith and know that the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's, He will vindicate your cause. He will turn that bad circumstance around for good. Hallelujah. And He's going to make sure that He leads you always into triumphal procession. That's what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Now, brothers and sisters, as individuals and as a church, I believe that God really wants us to possess the promised land. As individuals, this may mean the promised land could be a new job, a promotion, a CDI. That's my promotion. Why did that homeboy get my promotion? Right? And you can get angry and bitter. That's what the devil wants. But if you will know that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. Hallelujah. You stay in faith. It could be an unsaved family members. That could be your promised land. And you want to go in and you want to possess that promised land. But every time you see your family, you know, they're always fighting over chesa and telling you to do this and that. Prepare the chesa dinner. I'm tired of the chesa. I don't want to eat food sacrificed to idols. Hallelujah. I don't know what people say. And they just look like they are not interested at all in Christ. You have to know that that battle is the Lord's. If you will stay in faith, He'll give you that promised land. It could be a campus. It could be a dried up church back at home that you got to return to sooner or later. It could be a country in the missions field. There could be all these different kinds of promised lands that an individual can eye and look at. And I believe that God wants to take us in and possess the promised land, whatever that promised land is. As a church, we have a promised land. Hallelujah. As a church, we're going to take it in to 300. Amen? As a church, hallelujah. I mean, there's stuff going on, I know, from Mother Church that I can't share with y'all right now. But it's good stuff. I'm telling you, there's a promised land for JSCM. If we'll stay in faith, we'll rise up and be a part of that. You see that prayer movement that's going to cover different churches in Seoul? Are we going to take a lead role in that? We want to take a piece of that action. Hallelujah. And we're going to glorify God. But we got to stay in faith. We got to go in and possess the promised land. But brothers and sisters, we have to keep in mind that possessing the promised land is going to involve a fight. It's going to require that the people of God, the army of God, fight. Okay, when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, they thought that they were just going to enter the promised land. And Canaanites would be like, "Hey, big parade. Hey, here come the Israelites. Hey, come on in. hey, land flowing with milk and honey, you're welcome. Come on, come on, come on in. I don't know what they had in mind, but the moment God was like, you got to go in and fight, and then they looked at all their enemies, were like, what? We're not fighting these people? Right? They failed to receive the promised land. Brothers and sisters, we got to realize taking the promised land is going to involve a fight. This means that it's going to involve you to go out and evangelize. It's going to involve prayer, fasting. It's going to involve casting out demons, healing the sick. It's going to involve standing against the enemy through a season until you have that freedom. It's about moving in the anointing. It's about aiming for full freedom. It's going to involve a fight. Just safe Christianity is not going to take you into the promised land. You got to stand up and fight. And the missionaries, they return home disillusioned because a lot of them go to these missions fields thinking that things are going to be handed to them. That city or that nation is going to be turned around easily. Especially like very difficult countries like Muslim countries. Actually, a lot of Muslim people who go to Muslim countries, they usually are ready because they know how tough it is. But we, you know, missionaries, so many of them come back disillusioned and they come back defeated because they weren't ready to fight. They thought they were just going to enter in. No, that they thought that the Uzbekistans and Uzbeks and the Kazakhs, they're just going to welcome them and come on in. Come on, bring your Christianity in. But that's not what they find. You know, they rent out a building and then police come and shut them down. Take away all their money. It's a fight. It's a fight. And we got to be ready for this fight. Jesus said, if you're going to rob a strong man, you better tie him up first. Nobody goes in and tries to rob a strong man without tying him up. Would you do that? I wouldn't rob anyone. Okay. What if you were a robber? Should I think that way? All right, skip that. Hallelujah. You know what? And sadly, not everyone is going to enter the promised land. That's the truth. You know what? As a church, you know, we can try to cast vision and stuff. But you know what? Not every church is going to enter the promised land. If JSCM doesn't stay in faith, we will not enter the promised land. The Israelites, guess what? They were unwilling to fight. They were unwilling to believe that God would give them the victory. They kept seeing that the battle is theirs to fight. They didn't see that the battle is the Lord's. So what did they do? They died in the desert without ever seeing the promised land. Because they never got out of their comfort zones to fight. But brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is, there is a commander of this army. And that commander is advancing his kingdom as we speak. And he is calling each of us to fight. And to advance and possess the promised land. To take entire cities for God. To revive churches that have been dried up. To turn entire nations around for his glory. Hallelujah. You know, when Norberto was speaking for us a month ago, he said his worst fear is to get to heaven and hear all these crazy testimonies about people getting saved and healed and delivered and being like, where did all this take place? And missing out on it completely. That was his worst fear. You know what? I hope that that's not my story either. When I get before heaven, get before Jesus, and I hear all those testimonies, I want to be able to say, whoa, I had a part in that. God, you called me and I got involved with that. Thank you for calling me involved with that, because you know what? I have all this joy now. Hallelujah. This is my reward to have been a part of that. It was my pleasure. It was my joy to have served you in that way. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we got to be ready to rumble. You know, even when you get delivered out of bondage, it requires a fight. And some people think they can just set up a session and then get set free. And people have all kinds of occultic involvement, all kinds of trauma, sexual abuse as a kid. And they think, man, one session is going to do it all. And you know what? I don't set up sessions for people like that. I tell them, you know what? You need to change your thinking first. You need to get committed to prayer. Come out to Friday prayer. You need to get committed to the Word of God. I'm not going to even think about setting an appointment until I see that you're committed to the commander of the Lord's army. Because He's the one who's going to bring you out. It's not an appointment that's going to set you free. It's you keeping your eyes on Jesus that's going to get you free and keep you free. I'm not going to waste my time just trying to help you out when you're not willing to help yourself out. When you're not willing to look to the one who will deliver you. And you know what? People need to realize that deliverance and healing, it requires that you stand and you fight. And you fight until you get your freedom. You fight until you get your wholeness. And you fight and you aim for that freedom as your promised land. And you say, I will fight until I possess that promised land. Wholeness of heart. Soundness of mind. Hallelujah. You know, people who are spiritually attacked, they lack a soundness of mind. But you know what? God will restore that soundness of mind. Because God is not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Hallelujah. You know, I think it's kind of sad that most churches, they deal with deliverance ministry when people freak out at churches, freak out at retreats. I think that's sad. I think God is trying to restore the deliverance ministry back to the church. Because Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. These are the signs that will accompany those who believe. It doesn't say those who are in full-time ministry. It says those who have the title of pastor. It says those who believe, these are the signs that will accompany you. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will heal the sick. They will lay hands and heal the sick. Hallelujah. They will drink deadly poison. They will not harm them. And you know, intentionally, I will not drink poison just to test that out. Lord, is this, show me a sign. No. But hallelujah, you know what? If it ever happens to you, if you get stung by a jellyfish, you get bitten by a snake, guess what? Nothing is going to harm you. Hallelujah. Because these are signs that accompany those who believe. But you know what? Most churches have turned deliverance ministry into something that's only we deal with when people manifest at a retreat. How many of you guys went to a retreat where you saw a person kind of manifest demonically? Raise your hand. Okay, I thought every youth group had that experience. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know what? And that's sad. Most churches deal with it when it happens, when it just kind of comes up like that. But you know what? The church, we need to do, we need to go and storm the gates of the enemy. We need to go to every person and set them free from their bondage. We can't just wait for Satan to manifest. We need to find wherever he's working and bring those people out of bondage. Because, boy, I tell you, people who are in bondage, they may not tell you so, but they want out. They want freedom. But we need to tell them that there's something better to hope for. There's a better quality of life. Hallelujah. That's what an army of God does. We go in and we take territory for the king. We possess the promised land. How many of you guys want to possess the promised land? Let me just say amen.
Amen.
Oh, shouting. Brothers and sisters, the commander of the Lord's army is recruiting today. He is looking for people like Joshua and David. The commander is looking for brave hearts, not cowards. He's looking for men, not mice. Warriors, not wimps. In Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. It doesn't say cowardly men. It doesn't say passive men. It says forceful men lay hold of it. If you want to advance the kingdom of God, you know what that means? That means you have to take territory from the enemy. Because he is the prince of this world. He is the ruler of this age, the word of God says. If you want to go out and take the nations, if you want to win people you want to win the lost to Christ, you got to take possession of the enemy territory. Which means you got to fight. Because the enemy is not going to let go very easily. Anything that he calls my house, he will not let go. He will be stubborn and he will fight until he can't fight no more. Hallelujah. You know, in the parable of the talents, the master called the servant that was cowardly. He called him, you wicked and lazy servant. Brothers and sisters, being cowardly is not some kind of like, I don't know, virtue. It's not a virtue. Playing it safe is not a virtue. Being balanced, yeah, that's a virtue. But being cautious and cowardly and playing it safe, I just want to have a safe Christianity. I want to be cautious. I don't know about all the spiritual gift stuff. I don't know about all the vision stuff. Because you know what? I want safe Christianity. I just want to improve the quality of my life. I just want to glorify God by living the safe life that I have in my mind. That's not a virtue, brothers and sisters. God does not honor that kind of heart. Cowardly, he calls you wicked and lazy servant. God's looking for people that will rise up, hallelujah, to be like soldiers for Christ, to be enlisted in his army, to stand up and fight. An army of men and women filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to possess the promised land. You know, an army can bring good news or bad news depending on what side you're on. You know, during World War II, you know, Korea, great example. Two armies arrived after the war ended, right? One army came from the north, Russia. One army came from the south, U.S. And hallelujah. I don't know if there are many Koreans clapping when the Russians came to liberate the north. Because guess what happened? They weren't liberated. They were put into more bondage. And that was the work of the enemy. If South Korea responded and prayed, then God, there would have been a different situation. But for whatever reason, it just ended up that way. But you know, an army, they can come and they can say, hey, we're here to liberate you. You know, that's what Japan was trying to say. They were saying that we're going around the Pacific, liberating all these Pacific Asian countries from British rule and Spanish rule, all the stuff. But you know what they did when they went in? They would burn down villages, rape the women, kill off entire... You know the rape of Nanking? You guys ever... Have you ever read that book on that? It's a horrible, horrible incident for which China is still bitter about to Japan. You know, all about the comfort of women issue. And when certain armies arrive, they can either bring good news or bad news. Hallelujah. You know what? We are an army that can bring good news or bad news. Word of God says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. But to those who are perishing, we are the smell of death. But we are an army, brothers and sisters. Make no mistake about that. When we go into certain places, some people ain't going to like us. And you know what? That shouldn't disillusion us. Because to some people, we're the smell of death. You know what death smells like? It stinks. I mean, there's no other stink like death. It smells. And imagine, you know, we're going, hey, we're here to bring good news. And people, get away from me. And you're like, why are people responding that way? I just want to offer the love of Christ. I just have love. Why won't you receive my love? Well, yeah, because you smell like death to them. For to those who are perishing, you are the smell of death. But to those who are being saved, hallelujah, well, we get into predestination for a second, right? For those who are being saved, you are the aroma of Christ. You're sweet. Oh, thank the Lord that you're here, my sister. I've been waiting to hear that good news. And to other people, get your Christianity away from me. But brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. We are the army of God, and we need to go in and possess the promised land. We need to go into territory that the enemy claims for itself, and we need to go and dislodge him from there and take it for the king. That's kind of like what we do. Hallelujah. You know how I got married? I entered the promised land. I took possession of it. I fought. And I set, hallelujah, the captive free by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Of course, I know that the Lord did it. But he used my obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how I got married. Hallelujah. That was my promised land. I didn't even know that she was my wife. But you know what? I was just obeying the Lord. And I was like a soldier. You You know, I was like a soldier back then. We had deliverance sessions like twice a week for like a few months. It was crazy. I was hearing all these life stories, all these stories of child abuse and sexual abuse and all kinds of sins. And I didn't know you dealt drugs. And I didn't know that, you know, you did all that. You know, and I was just helping people get set free from, because you know what? There's not many avenues in the church for people to do that and get set free. But you know what? God was opening up that anointing here at this church. Hallelujah. And after I helped Aaron get set free, you know, hallelujah, God was like, that's right. She's the one. He didn't say that to me right away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It can be good news or bad news, depending on who we approach. You know what? And we tend to think of David in the Bible as a worshiper, but we have to realize that he was also a warrior. You know, as much as he loved playing that harp, he loved taking that sword. I mean, man, crazy. How he got one of Saul's daughters. He had to get a whole bunch of foreskins from Philistines. That's not easy to do. Hallelujah. He was a warrior. He was a warrior. He didn't just lead a music band. He led a band of warriors. When he was hiding out, he led a band of warriors. He was a warrior. He was a warrior as well as a worshiper. And you know what? It's not like he had martial arts as a teenager. He was just a little shepherd boy. But David was always victorious because whenever he fought under the banner of Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. That's why he declared that before he went up to Goliath. He said, you come against me with all these swords and javelins and spears, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. It's like he saw a banner over his head. He went in under the banner. And he never lost a fight. Hallelujah. Everyone turn to 2 Corinthians 2:14. We'll close with this. Says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Brothers and sisters, there is a commander of this army, and if we keep our eyes fixed on Him, no matter what battle you're faced with, He will always lead you into triumphal procession. He will always lead you in triumph. Hallelujah. Because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. So hallelujah. May JSCM be a church that is being raised up as an army that is following the commander of the Lord's army. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you, God, for... We know that we don't have to face the Goliaths in our lives by ourselves. But we know that, Lord, you are our vindicator. And you are the one who gives us victory. Lord, you gave Gideon the victory. You gave Jephthah the victory. Lord, you gave David the victory, God. Because the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. So God, Lord, when we go out to evangelize, God, when we go out to reach the lost, when we go out to heal the sick, when we go out to cast out devils, when we go out to destroy bondage, oh God, may we see that these battles are not ours, but they are the Lord's. And there is a commander. Hallelujah. Give us, Lord, a revelation of Jesus as not just simply a savior or a friend, but as the commander of the Lord's army. Just as you came to Joshua and you gave him a mighty revelation of who you are because you had a drawn sword. Hallelujah. You are the commander of the Lord's army. And in the book of Revelation, John saw you in a vision sitting on a white horse, leading the army of God into battle. You are the commander of the Lord's army. And Lord God, I pray you raise up people here ready to fight. Because we're tired of just playing church. We're tired of just going through church services. Lord, we want to go in and possess the promised land. No matter what the fight is like, we will go in and take the promised land because we know that God, the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's. The battle belongs to the Lord. I pray, oh God, raise up a mighty army at this church. Raise up a mighty army at this church that will go out to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out devils, to proclaim good news. Hallelujah. And spreading everywhere the fragrance of knowledge of God. In Jesus' name, amen.